Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the East Point Community Church Podcast. You will be blessed to hear from East Point's own Caleb Davis this Sunday as the Billiter family is in Strasbourg, France on a family mission trip. Thank you so much for joining us and we hope you have a fantastic week.
Hey, if you have a copy of the Bible, I would encourage you to take it, turn to the book of Colossians. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 1 here in just a minute. We'll be in Colossians 1. We'll be looking at a couple of verses. But it is Thanksgiving week. And so I know that I was talking with a couple of the kids earlier and asking them how many days of school they had. And listen, as a teacher, our goal for the next 2 days is to survive and then get all of the children out of the building alive. That's all we care about. We'll deal with actual teaching when we get back in December. This is it. Right, we just want to make it these next couple of days, and I know that there are a lot going on as we embark on our Thanksgiving adventures. I know people are traveling, people are coming in to visit. Sometimes we're going places to visit, and all of that is good. And I appreciate the fact that as a culture and as a society, we have at least a moment that is dedicated to being thankful. And we have those moments, and for people who maybe don't exhibit thankfulness year-round, there's at least a day where they are emphasizing the response of gratitude, and I'm glad for that. But when we think about it from a godly perspective, those of us who have been found in Christ, even as we embark on all of our Thanksgiving adventures this week, we recognize that of any group of people, believers have the greatest reason to be thankful. In fact, we have and should understand what thankfulness and thanksgiving actually mean from a biblical, godly perspective. And I would say that of all people, we have the most reason to be thankful. And so as we think about this idea, the Bible has a lot to say about thanks and about giving thanks and about exhibiting gratitude and a thankful heart. We want to look at one passage and see what that says about our desire and our ability to give thanks. Why should we be thankful? And then we'll talk a little bit about how we should be thankful, because the Bible speaks to both. So Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. We'll read the whole thing and then we'll kind of pick it apart verse by verse before we move on. It says this. It says, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, reminds them and really begins with this reminder of the role of thanksgiving, the role of being thankful in the life of a believer. Paul has a lot to say about being thankful. He mentions thankfulness in his list of fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm just realizing now that I say that, it doesn't actually mention it in thankfulness. Oh well. Chris goes to fancy. We say things that aren't in the Bible. It's fine. But he does, I think the expectation is there. If we look through Scripture, we see a number of places where Paul himself talks about this idea of being thankful, of exhibiting gratitude, and the reason why we exhibit gratitude, the reason why we are thankful. And he starts here, but it's part of an overall outlook and an overall approach to life as a follower of Jesus. Verse 11 tells us that God has a desire to provide things, to give things to his children. One of those things is he gives us strength. He wants us to be strengthened so that we can endure. It says, be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. So God, who has all power, wants to give us some of that so that we might be strengthened for the purposes he's called us to. For all endurance with patience and joy, giving thanks. See, there's an expectation that as we continue to follow Jesus, as we continue to grow in Christ-likeness, as we continue to grow in godly thinking, that we become and we continue to endure and we grow in things like patience and joy and thanks. To do these things is to exhibit the fact that we have been in relationship with God. To do these things, to show patient endurance, to show joy, to give thanks, and we'll see in a moment, regardless of circumstances, to exhibit these things is to show that we are, in fact, people connected with God. It points to the difference that an encounter with God has made in our lives. When we exhibit joy, true joy, not happiness. Anyone can be happy for a moment. True joy, joy regardless of circumstances. When we exhibit joy regardless of circumstances, it points people to God. When we are enduring regardless of circumstances, it points people to God. When we exhibit patience, it points people to God. And when we give thanks, it points people to God. All of these things drive us to the point of action, this idea of giving thanks. Verse 12, we give thanks. Giving thanks to the Father, and there are reasons, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. See, we give thanks to God for what he has done and what he has given to us. And one of the realities of this is, even if you are not a follower of Jesus, even if you are not a Christian, we still live under the grace of God. Even if you are not a follower of Jesus, even if you don't have a saving relationship with him, you still live under the grace of God. God's grace is still being shown to you every day as you live and exist in the midst of his creation. Even if you are not a follower of Jesus, you still notice and see, and maybe don't recognize, maybe you don't know where it comes from, maybe you don't agree with the authority by which it's given, but you still live under the grace of God. See, God made it possible. God is the first mover in all of these things. God made a way for us to be saved. He gives us the life raft off of the sinking ship. And yes, we are responsible for our faith. Yes, the Bible is clear that it is God's authority, God's knowledge, and our responsibility, but it could not be our responsibility had God not moved first. And so he begins this process. And in response to what he's done, in response to allowing us to be part of that inheritance of the saints, we give thanks. And he goes on, verse 13, he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom by his blessed son, because of his blessed son, the kingdom of his blessed, beloved son, Jesus. See, he delivered us. It is not simply a choice that we make. It is not simply a decision that we have come to. It is not simply a moment of change in our life and change in our heart. It is that God set this up for us, and he chose and he picked us up out of the muck and the mire of our sin to become part of his kingdom, the kingdom that his son Jesus purchased for him by his blood. He allows us to be part of this because of his great love, and so we give thanks. And then verse 14, in him we have the forgiveness of sins. We have the chance to be called children of God through the redemption of sin and the forgiveness that he offers in Christ. It's in Christ that we have been redeemed. The finished work of Christ on the cross is why we can be forgiven. It's the blood of Christ that allows us to be forgiven. And so we give thanks. Just to make sure we're all together here. Give thanks. Why? I think there are three reasons. One, again, that God made a way for us. I think many of us who grew up in church, or many of us who have been around Christian circles for a long time, We assume that to be the case. We just assume that's always the way it should have been. The reality of sin and the reality of God's holiness and justice is that when Adam and Eve sinned, when our first parents brought this curse upon us, he should have destroyed them in that moment, and that would have been the end of it. That should have been the end of it. But because of his great love, he makes a way for us that Romans 5 reminds us that while we were still sinners, he died for us. He sent his son to die for us. While we were active, rebel, hell-bound sinners, Jesus died on to be obedient to God the Father so that there could be a way for us to be free from our sin. And even if you don't believe, even if you don't follow, even if you are not redeemed yet, just the fact that God made a way for you is more than we deserve. Far more than we deserve. He made a way for us because Christ died for us. He made a way. And because he made a way, we have the freedom. The second thing we should give thanks for is that we have the ability, we have the chance to be free from sin's punishment. I think, you know, kids, I got saved when I was very young. And the motivating factor for me to become a follower of Jesus was I didn't want to go to hell. And as a kid, I think that's a perfectly legitimate reason to follow Jesus, to be free from the punishment of sin. Now, as a follower of Jesus for many, many years now, if that's still my motivation, well, then we have some issues. But to initially become a follower of Jesus because I don't want to experience the punishment my sin deserves, I think is perfectly legitimate. I think that's absolutely fine to see what sin deserves and to go, I don't want that, so I want Jesus, is fine. And he made a way for us to be free from sin's punishment. We are free from the consequences that we so rightfully earned. We earned it, but he paid for it. So we no longer have to face the penalty of sin. Now, just so we're all on the same page, just because we don't have to face the penalty of sin, just because we no longer have to bear the weight of sin's punishment, does not then give us freedom or permission to do whatever we want. It is not license to sin. Paul in Galatians mentions that very clearly. And even though I don't know the fruit of the Spirit, I do know that it's in there. Paul reminds us very clearly that freedom from sin's punishment is not freedom to sin. Freedom from sin's penalty is not license or permission to sin more. We've been free, and we've been free for a better purpose. And the third thing I think we can give thanks for is that we, those of us who are in Christ, we have been forgiven. Praise the Lord. For those of us who are in Christ, we've been saved. The debt that I incurred, the payment that I owed has been taken care of by the precious blood of the Lamb. And so as a response, I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks to my God. I give thanks to my adoptive heavenly Father because I could not be in relationship with him on my own, yet he made a way for me to be his again. He redeemed and bought back that which was rightfully his to begin with. I was made for relationship with my Creator, and because of the sinless Savior, because he died, my sinful soul could be counted free. For God the just was satisfied to look on him and pardon me. This is why we give thanks. We give thanks to God. But let me be clear, there is a reason that we should not give thanks to God. I want to make sure that we're clear on this. When life is going well, that is not the only moment we praise God. When things are going exactly the way that you think they should, when all of the pieces are sort of moving the way that we think they should, all the plates are spinning the direction we want them to, that's not the moment that we give thanks to God. When things are going well, that's not the only moment. We should give thanks to God when things are going well, when things are going smoothly, when things are working out, when we feel fulfilled and satisfied and happy, then yes, we should give thanks to God in those moments. But those are not the only moments we should give thanks to God. We don't follow the Lord because he promises to make things better for us. We don't follow God. We aren't brought into this family of faith to ensure that everything goes exactly the way we expect it to go. We don't follow God so that we get a promise of being healthy, wealthy, and wise. We are not given the keys to the kingdom of heaven so that everything works out well on the earth. The blessings and benefits that God gives us, we are thankful for those things, but we recognize that our thankfulness should remain regardless on the things that he gives us in this life. We don't gauge the love of the Lord based on how well things are going. Ask Job. The story of Job. Job followed God faithfully. Job followed God faithfully. God was his priority. And then when everything, all of the good in Job's life was taken from him by our enemy Satan, Job followed God anyway. Because he recognized, and this is the lie that Satan misunderstood. Job recognized that regardless of how well things are going now, God still cares for me. I still have much to be thankful for. And if I tie the way that God loves me to all of these things, well, then I completely miss the point. If I tie God's love for me and how well work is going or how nice my house is or how many zeros are in my bank account or how healthy my family is, then I have missed the point. See, we don't worship when things are only going well. We worship regardless. And this is what Job understood. And is a reminder for us. We don't thank God or exhibit faithful thanksgiving because of the blessings and benefits we receive from the Lord. We are thankful regardless. So, how then do we offer thanksgiving? What does that actually look like? I'm sure many of you will have a moment this week where you're sitting around the table and someone, usually the matriarch of the family, will give the challenge to everyone. Now let's go around and say something we're all thankful for, yeah? And you want to be near the end of that so that you can over-spiritualize whatever answer you give, right? Like, I'm thankful for this thing. I'm thankful for this object. Well, I'm just thankful to be with all of my people today or whatever. You know, we try to overmake it. But I think the Bible actually gives us indications of how we are to be thankful. How do we act in a thankful way? And I think there are a few things. One, Philippians 4 reminds us that we exhibit faithfulness and thankfulness when we pray. See, Philippians 4 reminds us, be reasonable. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. See, when we enter into a time of prayer with a thankful outlook, it changes how we view the situation we are praying about. If I have a difficulty or an issue or a circumstance that is less than ideal that I'm bringing before the Lord and I'm asking God to work in the midst of that situation, but I do so in an attitude of thanksgiving and thankfulness, it changes the way that I view that situation. It changes from God, do it this way, to God, do it your way, and I will be thankful regardless. When we approach God in a spirit of thanksgiving, we pray. And which, by the way, even the ability to talk to him should drive thankfulness. Because that's not something that I get on my own. See, Jesus, by himself, made it possible even for us to communicate with God. Because God is holy and we are not. We on our own don't even have the ability or authority to approach him. But because of Christ, I can be in relationship with God. I can communicate with God. Not only can I communicate with God, but God listens to me. He listens to those of us who have been redeemed, his children that he wants to lavish gifts upon. So even the act of prayer should drive thankfulness that the God of the universe wants to hear from me. When we pray, We exhibit thankfulness also when we suffer. 1 Thessalonians reminds us, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That we rejoice, we pray, we are thankful regardless of how things are going. And let's be fair. Suffering exists in this world. Sometimes suffering is a response and a result of the natural consequences of our actions. If I try to break the land speed record on the Gene Snyder, there will be some natural consequences for those actions. That's not God intending suffering in my life. That's because I make bad decisions. But there's also an element of life that is just hard. Sometimes life is just difficult and it's no one's fault. And it's especially in those moments that we give thanks. One, because we know that it will not always be this way. And two, because we know it was never supposed to be this way. That God had intended something better from the start. So in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our difficulty, in the midst of those things that we cannot shake, we praise and we give thanks to God regardless of how things are going. We thank him when we pray. We are thankful when we suffer. We thank God and we are exhibiting thanksgiving when we praise. There are multiple places throughout Scripture. We sang a line from a psalm this morning that reminds us to give thanks. We praise God for what he has done. We exhibit thankfulness. The psalms are rife with references to praise and thanksgiving. These things are synonymous with one another. To give praise to God is to exhibit thanksgiving. To give praise to God is to have an attitude of thankfulness because we are joining with what Scripture and other believers throughout time and history have already declared to be true. When we praise and we are lifting our voices in the community of faith, it is an exercise in thanksgiving. When we praise, we are exhibiting a faithful heart. We exhibit thanksgiving when we praise. We exhibit thanksgiving when we learn more about him. See, as we grow in Christ's likeness, as our knowledge of the word and of God grows deeper, we grow in our thanksgiving. Colossians 2 reminds us that the deeper we are rooted in Christ, the more frequent and the deeper our thanksgiving goes. The more we learn from the word, the more we study the word, the more we learn about God and the way that he operates, we learn about God and the way that he acts, the greater our knowledge of him grows, the deeper our thanksgiving grows. And the Bible is unique in the fact that even learning more about it deepens our relationship with its author. Nothing else works like that. There is no other thing that works like that. Other than the word, the more we learn about even the way that we got this as we have it, the deeper our relationship with God grows as a result. We could know the author of this thing, and the more that we know him, the greater our thanksgiving grows. We exhibit thanksgiving when we learn, and we exhibit thanksgiving when we understand the true source of blessing. Psalm 34 reminds us, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. See, when we understand the fact that God is the source of blessing, it drives us to be thankful. As we grow in our knowledge of him, we recognize that true blessing is in relationship with him. Because true blessing in relationship with him now will prove to be in relationship with him in the future. See, the depth of our relationship with God now only drives us to understand that this will pale in comparison to one day. And when we take refuge in him, we know that we are growing and going to a better relationship in the future. The greatest blessing is knowing and following God. It will lead to an eternity of thanksgiving before his throne. I'd like to pray for us as we respond this morning. As we look to this week and we look to at least even a cultural celebration of Thanksgiving, we are reminded that those of us who are in Christ, we have the true reason to be thankful. The way that was made for us on our behalf, the way that our sin had been forgiven, the way that our punishment for sin has been removed from our account. Thank you, God. God, for those of us who are followers of Jesus, we pray that even as we go about our week, that you would remind us of the true source of thanksgiving. Why this feeling at all? We know it's because of you. God, for those of us who are not yet followers of your son Jesus, God, I pray that we would be drawn to right relationship with you. God, as we spend a moment in response, God, we ask that you would speak to us, encourage us, be with us. And as we prepare to go, we ask that you would go with us. God, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for your son, Jesus, that makes all of this possible. Be with us now. God, it's in your name we ask these things and we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. If you're in the Louisville area, we would love to see you in person at our weekly service, Sundays at 10 a.m. In the meantime, grace and peace, and we hope you'll join us again soon.